Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for all who are able to listen in this morning, whether or not you're at work or you're listening on your smartphone or laptop or computer. Definitely appreciate the support. 646-652-4479 is the number. What are we talking about this morning? We are talking about Atlanta sports 2017. The Super Bowl, enough said. The Atlanta Hawks, Atlanta Braves, Atlanta United, Atlanta Dream. Will our teams ever win a championship? And in the case of the Atlanta Braves, a second one. In the NFL, franchises that haven't been in existence as long as the Falcons have appearances in the Super Bowl and have wins. For example, Seattle, Baltimore Ravens, St. Louis Rams, New Orleans Saints, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they all have championship rings. And FYI, of course, the Carolina Panthers have two appearances in the Super Bowl. They haven't won, but they have one more than we do, right, appearances-wise. The Atlanta Braves are one of the most dominant teams of its era, but only have one championship to show for it, while the Marlins have two championships. The Cubs even have one now. The Atlanta Hawks have never been to the finals, while the Miami Heat, franchise that has only existed for 30 years, have three. The Atlanta Dream have been competitive, but they haven't won. And our newest franchise to represent the MLS, well, we'll see what they have to bring to the table soon. But how long will fans have to wait to see a parade on Peachtree Street? This morning, we're going to discuss all of these topics. So tune in, listen in, call in. And, of course, the number again is 646-652-4479. The chat room is also open. So for those who are at work or overseas and can't dial in, you can type in your thoughts, and I'll read them on the air live for you. So let's go ahead and get started. I know this is a early morning show. When I thought about doing this morning, I didn't really put much thought into it. As I didn't wake up until a certain time this morning myself, but I said I need to go ahead and get a show in. I wasn't able to do one yesterday like I promised, so I wanted to go on the air today for sure. So welcome to the show. And also make sure that for you to be able to get current announcements on future shows this week, be sure you follow me either on the show page for IMTN Worldwide Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/IMTM Worldwide or the Instagram for the page, IMTM Worldwide Radio on Instagram. So be sure to follow those pages. So let's go ahead and get started. The Atlanta Falcons. So, of course, the truth is nobody knew really what to expect after the first year of Dan Quinn getting us to a 500 record after having two consecutive really bad seasons, okay? And we know those bad seasons, there's, you know, a plethora of reasons why, you know, we had those bad seasons. We can say coaching, we can say injuries, we can say lineups, we can say, we can go all and on. But Dan Quinn came in and got us at least an 8-8. And, of course, we all know with a few things happening, probably would have made the playoffs. right? But we got the 500. So going into the second season of Dan Quinn, we knew what the roster would be for the most part, right? We knew what was coming back. And the draft that happened was a much different draft than what we were used to, right? All of a sudden, we're getting younger at certain positions, right? Excuse me. And then free agency, we saw them make some moves that for, you know, our past history were also a little surprising, a little, you know, made us kind of perk up a little bit, kind of take an eye of what they're doing. We saw them get Mack, center from the Cleveland Browns. We saw them get Freeney, a veteran, who still proved that he could still play, right? And with Mack, we knew what we were going to be getting in regards to him being able to solidify an offensive line that has skill, that has talent, but really weren't playing together. And we knew with Freeney, his history, his knowledge of the game, we had our young Vic Beasley coming into his second year. We knew for a fact that that was going to help on the mentor side, but we didn't know how deep it would be until going into the season where we saw the whole defensive line start playing much better than what they did the year before. Count how many sacks we had year before to 2016, and you'll see that. Matt Bryant, fully healthy, so we know he's going to kick the ball well for us again. We saw Matt Ryan take the receivers down to Miami to work out. A little bit where that brotherhood started, right? So what was the result? The Atlanta Falcons had one of the most dominant offensive seasons ever. Matt Ryan, 13 different receivers catching a touchdown, right? We achieved a first-round bye for the playoffs. Coming off an 8-8 season, didn't see that coming, right? How the NFC was stacking up and everything, right? Aaron Rodgers, right? Dominated the two playoff games that we played against one of the best quarterbacks of all time, even though he only has one Super Bowl ring, right? And before that, we beat the Seahawks, which, of course, earlier in the year, you know, they cheated and, you know, beat us there in Seattle or whatnot. So it was a great revenge game to come back and have a chance to beat them, a really talented team that also has appeared in the last two Super Bowls, right? So doing that, then getting to the Super Bowl, and then seeing Matt Ryan win the MVP of the league, which was much deserved for the season that he had, right? And for the first three quarters of the Super Bowl, but then we lost. And so now the question is, can the Falcons recover? Will the Falcons recover? 646-652-4479. Just making sure we don't have anybody in the chat room yet. So that being said, so what is next? What's the answer to that question? I say the answer is yes, and here is why. Unlike the Panthers in Denver from the year before that made the Super Bowl, but then the next year didn't make the Super Bowl, look at all what happened with those two teams respectively. Denver, they started a new quarterback, right? And they were going to try to depend on that defense that basically won them the Super Bowl. Well, guess what? There was a lot of changes other than just the quarterback on that team, right? And they didn't even make the playoffs, okay? The Panthers, for the most part, bought back their team, and they actually got a receiver back that they lost the year before, and they did so well without that top-line receiver, you would think they would come back the next year and do it again. Maybe not go 15-1, but definitely make the playoffs. They weren't even really competitive all year. A lot of that was because of Cam Newton not really wanting to, you know, be a man, all right, and play right. Letting all kind of stuff disaffect him or whatever. Whatever the case is, he went backwards in his progression as an NFL quarterback. But, yes, the team did have some injuries. But, hey, guess what? Every team has injuries. That can't ever be an excuse. You still have to play on the field every day, right? But at the end of the day, they didn't make the playoffs either, right? Again, no excuses. Hey, the Falcons were missing several starters to injury for the last few weeks of the season. Some of them kind of important, Trufant, right? What if we had Trufant in the Super Bowl? All right. We had several rookies starting in the Super Bowl. Think about that. So going into next year, so think about how much depth we will have, how much experience we'll have now with all of them going through that, right? Of course, we won't go through any QB changes. We have to find another backup, of course. I think Matt Schaub is gone, okay? That's not going to be that big a deal, right? We're not going to have a mass exodus of valuable players leaving teams like Denver had, right? And like some of the other teams in the NFC are going to have just by default, you know, via free agency, age, things of that nature. Although I think QB for Arizona has decided to come back one more year, I guess, right? In nine seasons, 2015 was the worst for Matt Ryan, statistically and just play overall, right? We knew it was a new offense. He wasn't used to it, didn't understand it, didn't know why this, why that. Communication wasn't that great between him and Kyle at the time. The offensive line was just basically garbage. Matt never had any time to throw the ball. The whole Roddy Wright ordeal, right? So going into this new season, of course, we're looking to see, okay, well, what needs do need to be filled at this point? And again, as I mentioned, we know the rookies have a new season, have this first season under their belts. The second-year players like Vic Beasley led the league in sacks, by the way. He's going to continue to get better, right? Now, we did have some coaching changes. You know, defensive coordinator is gone. Offensive coordinator is gone. Several other coaches are gone either because they're getting new jobs or they were fired. Yeah, that's going to be a little different as new people are promoted or brought in from outside sources. Steve Sarkisian is now the offensive coordinator. But I don't really see that as an issue, really. So my prediction, when the Atlanta Falcons going into 2017, based on what I saw on the schedule as far as the teams that were going to play, 646-652-4479 is the number. Let me check the chat room. Oh, there's some people in the chat room. Okay, cool. Based on what I've seen as far as the teams that were supposed to play, okay, I feel that the Atlanta Falcons could go 13-3. And I'm going to be the first to say it, I say that we have a shot to go undefeated based on who we're supposed to play this year. Now, why would I say something crazy like that? The defense is going to start the year like they finished last season. Remember, the Falcons were giving up maybe 20 points a game, and a lot of that was because most of it was garbage time points, too, if you noticed. Okay, with our offense giving up 20 points a game, we win pretty much every game, and we did that post bye week, won every game, going away. Okay, I feel the defense is going to start like that this year, and if that happens, tack on, or I should say remove at least three losses. So technically we should be 14-2, technically. But I'm saying 13-3 at least, all right? I feel that we're going to get a new kickoff returner, punt returner. That's going to add mileage in regards to our starting position. That's one thing that did hurt us in the Super Bowl, by the way. Okay, take away the two turnovers. If we didn't have those two turnovers, it would have been a completely different game. I'm sure everybody would agree with that. All right? What else? Well, our defensive backs. When Trufant comes back, they're going to move Alford to the nickel. Jalen Collins will be out there. That's going to be pretty dynamic as far as cornerbacks on the field. Got Neil Allen out there. That's going to be pretty staunch defense as far as passes coming from the quarterback and can it get into the receiver's hands or not in 2.3 seconds. Especially because I feel that with our defensive line, how they stack up, I mean, again, we watched the Super Bowl. Now, Vic didn't do that well in the Super Bowl, no. But the rest of the line did. Tom Brady got hit a lot. He was on the ground a lot. I think that carries over. And, again, Vic Beasley didn't lead the league in sacks just because. He did it because he played well. He played very well. He learned what he didn't do in the first year came into the second year and basically just straight up dominated. Can't say nothing else other than that. I expect he's going to do very well for however long he decides to play in Atlanta from here on in. You put pressure on the quarterback, guess what? That ball comes out a little bit different. So I believe our defense is going to get there. Again, we have a man who went to back-to-back Super Bowls in three out of the last four years. He's been in the Super Bowl. Think about that, y'all. I mean, like, seriously. He knows what he's doing on defense, okay? We're going to get younger on the offensive line. We have depth. We have depth all the way around. So Falcons opening Mercedes-Benz Stadium is going to be very exciting. They're going to have the ability to sustain a winning team for at least the next 10 years. As long as Matt can stay on his feet, we're going to win. I feel we're going to win some Super Bowls. So we just got to hang in there, okay? Atlanta Braves. Now, the Atlanta Braves, the last few years, they've been a team of, I don't understand it, right? Manager decisions, constantly losing games, you know, bullpen blowing leads left and right, and still the bullpen, same players keep getting thrown out there no matter what, so changing it up a little bit. You can never get any hitters to consistently hit with men in scoring position. So 2016 saw extreme changes, trades of many of our, you know, starters, some of them homegrown, you know, Adrian Simmons, Simba, gone. Kimbrel, gone. Just everybody just gone. Just couldn't, it was horrible, right? And then we start, you know, seeing us go into officially young mode as far as starting rotation goes, right? Season started pretty bad. I know because I was there every game at home and just saw us get our, you know, brains beat out. And sometimes not even that. We just lose by a run, lose by a run, lose by a run, right? Bullpen, again, continue to get killed because the starting rotation couldn't get past the fifth inning. Wasn't a pretty sight, right? Just going through the motions at one point, May and June, finally a decision was made to say, you know what, the management situation is not going to work anymore, and all of a sudden they changed managers right before the All-Star break. Post-All-Star break, the Atlanta Braves almost played 500 ball. You see what I'm saying? And one of the other things they did was actually bring in a bat. They said, you know what, we're gonna find out if, you know, this particular player does have anything left. And let's see what happens if he was to leave the environment he was in. Let's see if he, you know, if he does get into some kind of tolerable shape, right? What could he do? Because we know what he could do in the past. We have history as far as seeing what kind of player he was, what kind of player can he finish out his career as, and can he actually help this team? Who am I talking about? Well, of course I'm talking about, I know that was a long pause there, that was unnecessary, Matt Kemp. Now, I've not really been a Matt Kemp fan. I mean, the Dodgers and everything, money and all that. But for a player that he is, I did feel if he was to come here, he would definitely be valuable. And he definitely proved it. He hit home runs. He hit with men in scoring position. He got us the numbers of not having something that we've had since Chipper almost, as far as his numbers-wise. And to back up someone like Freddie Freeman, that was huge because all of a sudden you had someone that you now had to worry about other than just Freddie. You couldn't pitch around Freddie Freeman anymore. And that just that one change changed the whole lineup. Now, of course, Nick Markakis hitting better helped. Ender coming off the injury and starting to hit helped. Other players starting to really play regularly and everything, that did help. But I think the Matt Kemp deal definitely, you know, went into saying, hey, we're really actually serious about making the team better. And it made people feel much better that they're at least going out and trying to do something different. Because, again, one of the quote-unquote curses of the Atlanta market is we're not ever going to do anything different as opposed to all the other competitive franchises out there to try to win ball games, right? So besides that, what else happened last year? Dansby Swanson, Dan the Man, Mr. Swanson, finally got called up. And what did he do? Man, he just started turning heads. He started hitting the ball, started stealing bases, started doing all the stuff that we thought he was going to do. And again, the team played just so much better, so much energy. Those home games now all of a sudden meant a little bit of something. No, they weren't playing for a playoff spot. No, they weren't even really playing spoiler to an extent, because most of the teams that they were playing weren't also in the playoffs, but they were winning games. And, you know, it's hard to win games in the National League, but they were winning, you know. And so that was exciting. And, again, closing out Turner Field and everything, you would want it to go a little bit different. But, one, they didn't lose 100 games, and that was a huge deal. Anytime you lose 100 games in a season, it's a mark that, you know, everybody always looks at for years and years and years. So for them to fight to just to not even do get to that point was a huge deal, and I think that's going to carry over. Okay? The starting rotation pitched better. The bullpen was even better. And, again, the team was very exciting to watch. So what's next? The starting rotation did add a couple of veteran pitchers. Now, whether or not they're going to start the entire year or they're going to spot start and they're going to come out the bullpen, either or, I think it's a good move, because now you don't have to worry about can people get to the fifth inning. Because these guys, they always get at least to the fifth inning and lots of times the sixth inning, and if they do real well, they can get to the seventh, which means the bullpen is not going to get killed. And if any of the young guys start getting consistent, we really do have a great starting rotation. We can have a competitive starting rotation, right? And again, we have a great mix of young players, veterans. We just picked up Phillips from the Reds as a second baseman. He still has a little bit left in the tank. If we get what he got last year, we'll be doing good at second base along with Jace Peterson, right? So what's next? If the Braves can have a solid start, kind of like if they play like they finished last year, I feel the Braves can get to 500. I feel they can maybe do more than that coming into this year with all the changes in their division. I'm going to throw it out there, worst of first, okay? Opening SunTrust Park, it's going to be a beautiful stadium. You'll probably see me there, hopefully, 646-652-4479. And it's going to be something to where fans need to come out and support the team. It's going to be a brand new decade coming up. Definitely need to do it. You know, it's going to be a big deal. The Braves are back. You know, this is a year that people need to pay attention. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to take a quick break. Before I go to break, I want to mention there is a doctor in the Atlanta area that if you're sick, you're constantly getting sick, you don't know what's wrong with you, you don't know why you keep getting sick, you need to figure it out. Dr. T. Houston is a doctor that has a practice here that practices holistic medicine. She has a book, she's an author, Detox Style, that you should pick up and learn how you can have preventative measures. And then if you are sick, what you can do to get yourself feeling better without mega expenses that we continue to pay to drug companies, you know, and we spot check stuff. Eventually, you want to be well for a longer period of time, right? So visit Dr. Houston on her website, www.drthouston.com, or you can call her and set up an appointment, 404-585-1561. Be sure to mention IMTM Radio, IMTM Worldwide Radio, push you over to her. So going to take a quick little break. This is Chris, IMTM Worldwide. IMTN Worldwide Radio. I always forget when that particular track ends. That is from Chris Pritham. It's called The Journey. Definitely hit Chris Pritham. He's a producer up on Twitter at Chris Pritham. Chris, P-R-Y-T-H-M. Make sure you let him know that I sent you to him. If you're an artist, you need to hit him up for some beats. 646-652-4479. Visit the show at www.lawtalkradio.com/IMTN Worldwide. Follow the show on Instagram, IMTN Worldwide Radio. We are talking Atlanta sports 2017. What just happened? What's going to happen? We talked about the Atlanta Falcons. We talked about the Atlanta Braves. Well, who's next? The Atlanta Hawks. Now, we knew change was coming and had to happen. After a 60-win season, finally making the Eastern Conference Finals, having all those players in the All-Star game together, and then we get swept. And then the next season, we go to the playoffs again for the 8th year in a row, I believe, up to that point. But what happens? We got swept again. So we knew something had to happen. The formula was not working. And not just fans, but the city demanded that something has to happen. So Al Horford was not brought back. Jeff Teague was traded. Dwight Howard was signed as a new man in the middle, and Dennis Schroeder was given the starting point guard duties. Now, we knew this wasn't going to produce a 70-win season. We knew there was going to be growing pains, but regression, I don't think, was thought of something that would happen with this team, at least not on paper. But that's exactly what has happened this year. So why did we see the level of play drop off? There's a couple of reasons. There's a bunch of reasons. There's blame to be, laid on everybody, really. But let's go, one by one, or just a few. I'm not going to name all of them. Bazemore, we love that he wanted to be here. We love that he was coming back. A lot of people didn't necessarily agree with the contract that was signed, but that was for the play from the previous year. That's what was going to be a demand because he had other teams offering him money, and he took less money to come here. So we love the loyalty. But at the same time, once you sign that dotted line, there's expectations that you're going to at least do the same, if not better, and that didn't happen for most of this beginning of this season. It's February now, so like half the season, like 50 games have already been played, right? But Bazemore having the bad stretch of play that he did and him being on the starting lineup, that put a lot of pressure on everybody else to make up for his difference, right? Then Seth Alosha being also put into the starting lineup, right, especially after they benched Kyle Korver, that made a big difference because, one, him being a defensive stopper, that hasn't really been apparent for a lot of the year for a lot of the players that he played against. And then on top of that, he wasn't really contributing that much in scoring. So now you're basically playing 3-on-5, which in the NBA never really works, right? So that's been difficult to handle, right? Now, Dwight has played very well. Dwight, the double-doubles, the offensive rebounds, which he's leading the NBA, points in the paint, all that's been great, okay? However, he's still having difficulty getting the ball when he gets positioned in the paint. It's like nobody has ever been taught how to get an entry pass in, and it's very, very, very frustrating. Yeah, the lobs, the alley-oops and everything are cool and all, but heck, half of those don't get in his hands because they're thrown all over the place a lot of times. Now, yeah, he still has his little troubles in close to the paint sometimes. However, his history shows he's going to make most of the buckets if he gets the buckets in the paint, right? Dennis has played very well, a lot better than most people probably expected. The dog that we all saw in him in the playoffs and everything the last couple of years, which is the reason why he was elevated to the starting point guard position, has not been lost on him. And he's taken the challenge, and he's played very well. However, he still had lapses where he either is not playing defense all the time, he's turning the ball over in really stupid situations sometimes. I mean, sometimes it's just a matter of watch where you're going, what are you doing? And as much as we want him to drive all the time, there is a limit to where you know you're about to get blocked, right? Why do you still, go for it? Because you're not going to get fouled either, right? But we still would rather him do that than not go into the, paint at all as a point guard, penetrating and being able to dish out and or score. Rather him do that. He just needs to stop turning the ball over. And he needs to stop being so He needs to stop flailing his arms in the air and his head all over the place when he does make a mistake, like all is lost. He just needs to get back on defense. That I don't like about him right now, okay? What else? The bench has not been as solid as it usually is. The bench mob, there's sometimes where they bring their team back, but there's a lot of times where they vanish altogether. And it's happened more times than not. Mike Scott has been hurt most of the year. He's come back. He's not the same. Okay? Already mentioned Kyle is gone. He's been traded, right? And you have the point guard in Delaney where in some cases he plays well, but more times than not this year he hasn't. And sometimes he vanishes. And us not having a third point guard has definitely hurt us this year, right? The rookies have been great when they've gotten playing time, regular playing time,
Bembry has shown that, given minutes, he can play well. Both of them have, Prince and Bembry. But they don't play that much. So that's not helped, right? But then also, again, this is not just the players. It's also there's a lot of coaching decisions that have left us miffed a lot of the year as far as, well, what about this rotation and why that play? Or why can't we get the starters back in because we're continually getting down by, you know, when are we going to – what are we doing? More so than any other year, you know, we've had questions that just don't make any sense. And it scares us because the whole point of bringing Bud in was we had a solid coach from a coaching, you know, legacy that was going to put us in the top tier in the East. And right now we're in fifth, barely in fifth at that. Okay, so what's going to happen next, you know? What's going to happen the rest of this season? It's February 13th, and we still don't even really have an identity. You know, we're on this road trip, and, you know, I don't know if we're going to really beat Portland tonight. You see what I'm saying? Another under 500 team that's struggling in its own right, but they can put up points. They just made a move the other day. Got them a center from Denver Nuggets or whatnot who's a good player. So is that going to change them overall to get them into the playoffs? Maybe. But can we start beating some of these teams that we're supposed to play? Because if not, if it's just apparent that this is not going to be the year and next year has to be the year, we need to go ahead and I feel do, you know, finish the rebuild that was started 2 years ago and go ahead and trade Paul Millsap. Now, why would I say something like that? Well, because we can't sustain a winning streak of any kind. We keep getting blown out, right? Again, we have to look at can we win a seven-game series against anybody in the East right now? And right now, from where we are in fifth, that's a question mark, and it shouldn't be. And for the fact that it is, we need to go ahead and do what we have to do. And I think we either trade Paul for other pieces that we can trade for actual replacement for him, or we trade him straight up for somebody, a younger player, hopefully. You see what I'm saying? Or we do keep him and we hope for the best. We hope we make the championship round at worst, because anything less than that, I still think that Paul would just walk, because we're probably not going to pay him what he wants. I don't see it. He's on the other side of 30. You know, and can he keep up that style of play of his and be effective over a period of time? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. There's other players that you can lock them in for till 39 years old and they're going to play well, and there's others that the drop-off is drastic. And I don't want us to get caught in paying him $40 million a year and he's giving us 10 points a game all of a sudden regularly. You see what I'm saying? This is a different era now. You can't really do much with that in the NBA, in any position, really, but definitely not power forward of all positions. We know it's not going to be Moose taking the reins as a starter. I don't see him as a starter, but as a bench player, keep him forever if we can. He's gotten much better. I mean, he hits the jumpers. He rebounds. He plays defense much better. He's locked in. I feel good about him, although he zeroed out the other night, which is why we lost that game the other night. But nevertheless, what do we do? Do we stand pat? Do we feel that when Seth comes back, it'll get better? Do we rely on the rookies more? Will Tiago ever come back? You know. But again, the Wizards and the Celtics have established themselves as threats in the East. The Raptors are falling out of contention. The Cavs, again, are showing how vulnerable they are and how much of a chance we really did have to beat them the last couple of years, and we just didn't do it. And now they keep trying to add other players and whatnot, right? When are we going to get to that point where the Atlanta Hawks can be viewed as a legit contender? When will those words be mentioned in the same sentence as Atlanta Hawks? Will it happen? Can it happen? Should it happen even? Again, we've done a lot over these last few years. Changing of the coaching. Larry Drew was here, y'all. Think about that, right? We got through that somehow. But we want better. We deserve better. Why shouldn't we get better, right? Dwight comes in. We don't want to waste the rest of his prime years because he still can play. He's proven that, right? Dennis is going to play for another decade or so or whatever, right? Baze will be here forever long. We keep signing him. We have a core. But can that core get over the hump? Can that core beat the Wizards in the playoff series, the Celtics in the playoff series? Can we even beat Indiana in a playoff series? That's a question mark. I mean, in a seven-game series, we have to win four games. Can we win four games against Indiana as they're currently constructed and how we're currently constructed? I don't know. Because as much as on paper we should, I mean, on paper, we should, no matter what, should be the third-best team in the East, period. You see what I'm saying? And we can't do it, or we won't do it. It's one or the other. And that's what worries me about the Atlanta Hawks, and that's why I'm taking a little bit more time talking about them, because I know fans overall, they're wondering the same things. They're looking at we have these big leads, and then all of a sudden you turn the channel, and then all of a sudden we're struggling to keep the lead, right? Or we're getting blown out, and then you turn the channel, and all of a sudden we're coming back. It can't be playing, you know, schizophrenia. We can't keep doing that and then feel that anybody is supposed to take us seriously and treat us with any kind of respect. We'll be the same old Hawks for another 30 years at this point if we don't change the narration to say the Hawks made the NBA Finals. We need that to happen. That's why I said with the Atlanta Falcons earlier this month that just the fact that the Falcons were in the Super Bowl was a huge deal. Yes, how we lost was disappointing, but there was a lot of other teams that wish they could have got beat like that. They weren't nowhere close to being in the Super Bowl. They didn't have a chance to be in the Super Bowl. The Falcons have a chance to be in the Super Bowl like the Buffalo Bills and go four in a row. I'm saying it out loud. That's how dominant this team can really be. Barring any major injuries, the team is not going to do anything but get better and younger over the next couple of years. The young players become veterans. This is a solid team that we have. And Matt Ryan, as long as he wants to stay in shape, a la Tom Brady, can play until he's 40 if he wants to and get us a couple of rings, period. The Atlanta Braves are a young team. They have all the semblances of the 91 team, mixture of young people and veterans. A manager that's going to get those guys to play hard every day, that's all you can ask for, and then see what happens. You see what I'm saying? So the Atlanta Hawks, they have a winning streak of playoff series. You know, they've won 50 games, you know, a year for however many years as well. I mean, they're one of the quote-unquote better teams in the East over a period of time, but they've never won anything. Now, we can say, well, the Wizards haven't won anything either, or the Celtics haven't won a good little bit either, or, you know, other teams, and you know, we can say all that. But with, you know, with all due respect, except for the Wizards and, even the Nets have been in the finals before. You know, there's not a lot of teams in the East that haven't been in the finals in their franchise. The Wizards are one. I'm trying to think of another one off the top of my head. But it's not a lot, y'all. Eventually, the Hawks have to cross that threshold, and now it's 2017. Think about each decade previous to that. You see what I'm saying? The 90s. Heck, let's go into, you know, the 80s with Neek. You know, and the stretches of bad play that we've had. We just want, as a fan base, to say, hey, for a stretch of time, we did have a legit shot. No one could talk bad about us. I think we deserve that at this point. And bringing in Dwight Howard was a huge deal. Everybody really got excited about that. Hometown kid coming home. Dennis, you know, the guy who can shoot a three and turn his back as it goes in the bucket. We needed that. We needed some kind of, you know, excitement, some kind of confidence level to just be raised up. Sorry, Falcons. That's still your motto. But we needed that. And now that we have it, we just want to see it go all the way through to fruition. I think we deserve that. 642-656-6427. 646-652-4479 is the number. And again, I'm glad that I was able to get on early this morning, but I know this was a last minute, again, announcement that I was going to do it, but I know there's a lot of people at work. I've gotten some messages on a couple of social media platforms that, you know, I got, you know, all kind of people listening. So I'm glad I was able to get on the air this morning. I'll try to do a couple more later in the day shows, and definitely will be back on at night again very soon this week. But I just needed to do this show because there's a lot of stuff going on in Atlanta. And last but not least, two other franchises in Atlanta that we have, the new MLS team, Atlanta United, and, of course, the Atlanta Dream. Now, I'll talk about the Atlanta Dream first because they have been around longer. They've been around since 2008. And, oh, before I go there, prediction on the Hawks. I don't believe right now that the Hawks can win a seven-game series in the first round. That being said, I think they should trade Paul Millsap and finish the rebuild and go ahead and put the weight on Dwight and Dennis to win a ring next year. All right, so let's get into the Atlanta Dream. 2008, that's when they were established, right? And they're a proven winner. Now, they didn't start off winning. I mean, they only won four games in their first season. So they didn't win right off the bat. 646-652-4479, and shout out to everybody on the chat line. But after that, they made the playoffs the next year. And did you know that since their inception, they've made it to three WNBA championships? No, they didn't win them, but they made it there. So here it is. We have another franchise, and I'm just going back to the Hawks. All of our major franchises, at least we can say, have been to the final game, the final series of the year. The only one that hasn't are, you know, the Atlanta Hawks, which is crazy, right? Team that hasn't even been around for barely 16 years, or 8 years, I should say, 9 years, not even a decade. They've been to three finals, okay? So this year they're going to be transitioning the Atlanta Dream. Is they have some new players coming in. There's some trades that were happening. And Angel McCautry, their best player, is actually going to be taking the season off. Earlier in January, she made the announcement that she would not be playing in the WNBA this year. Okay, so it's going to be something different this year. I don't know how they're going to, you know, map it out to be competitive this year without Angel, but you never know, right? But I feel that within the next few years, they, again, will have another shot of making the WNBA Finals and maybe winning, hopefully. They could be the first team to, you know, have that parade on Peachtree. You never know, right? They have an exciting brand of basketball. They really do have a good fan base here in Atlanta. You see a lot of the Atlanta Hawks players supporting them, other teams coming through. And that's going to be one really cool thing about Atlanta over the next decade or so. With the new stadium, the new renovations of Phillips, you're going to see a lot of lot more cross support from the other franchises than you've ever seen in the past, really. You know, Hawks players going to Mercedes-Benz, Falcons players coming to Phillips, both going to Mercedes-Benz to watch Atlanta United. It's going to be really cool to see that, you know, bond with all the other teams to say, hey, we all going to be doing this for a long time. Let's make this happen, right? Prediction on the Atlanta Dream. I feel they have a shot to get the ring within the next few years. I really do. Atlanta United. Now, popularity of MLS over the last 5 years, I've always felt that eventually we would get a team in Atlanta. Again, if people remember, you know, we lost the hockey team. I was like, man, for real? You know, so would we ever get another sports franchise in town? You know, so when Blank announced the plans for Mercedes-Benz, it didn't really surprise me that, you know, we were going to get a soccer team. You know, and Atlanta United FC is going to represent us here in the South. You know, we do have the Orlando team that's, you know, a little bit more south than us, I guess. But we represent the South here. And I think D.C. has a team, so there will be another rival for us, I guess. We do have a lot of players from some of the top international teams out there in the world. So the promise from the coach is that we're going to have a, you know, exciting play on the field. You know, they're not going to just be holding the ball. They're going to be trying to score every time they touch the ball. So that's going to be really good to see. Typically, expansion teams in MLS don't do well, but then again, Seattle had a great opening, and they've won every year that they've been in the league, so you never know, right? I think their first 8 games at home are going to be on the Georgia Tech field, so that gives everybody an opportunity in town to definitely come watch them. I think 30,000 tickets have been sold already, so that's really cool. So when Mercedes-Benz does open up to play in July, that's going to be something. That's going to be a good ticket to get. It's a different sport, of course, for most, but it's an international sport. It's one of the biggest in the world. It's the biggest on the planet, okay? So that's going to draw a lot of attention. If we do play well, hey, you never know. Maybe we can get a World Cup in Atlanta. You know, we can host a big event, you know. But for the fact that we do have this new franchise, I think it's up to, you know, the fan base here in Atlanta to definitely go out and support. You know, go to at least one game for sure. You just kind of, you know, try it out for size, right? So who is going to be the first franchise to give us that championship parade on Peachtree Street since 1995, which was forever ago? There's some people might be listening right now, weren't even born in 1995. That just makes me real old and mad to think about that. But it's the truth, right? So who is it going to be? Is it going to be the Atlanta Falcons, who almost made that happen just recently, right? Is it going to be the Atlanta Braves again? Is it going to be the Atlanta Hawks? Is it going to be the Atlanta Dream? Is it going to be Atlanta United? You never know. The point of the matter is we do have fans here. I think that was proven again this football season, is that we really do have fans that are going to support the team if you're playing hard. And, again, there's a lot of people who keep throwing out the whole fair weather fan, and you're coming from another town and city and stuff and transient and all this kind of stuff. But doggone it, I don't see the Cleveland Browns filling up their stadium. I don't see Cincinnati filling up their stadium. I don't see the Miami Dolphins filling up their new nice stadium because they're not winning. And when you don't win, it's very hard for a person to just keep supporting something where you don't see no effort being put into winning. Detroit Lions, they're not fooled all the time. When was the last time they've really challenged for anything since Barry Sanders? Let's, like, be real about it, okay? Atlanta gets one of the worst reputations overall, but I don't think it's warranted, truthfully, okay? And especially over the last 4 or 5 years, especially with the Hawks, we have a whole new fan base with the Hawks that wasn't there before. You see what I'm saying? It's not great because we're playing like crap, frankly, okay? It's not good. But we're still there. We're still a part of it. We'll go down with the ship. We just feel that we deserve better play, okay? The Braves, they showed out last year. Now, when we were just losing game after game after game, no one was coming to Turner. They weren't coming. But when they started to see that the team wanted to play and was playing hard, we had people showing up, okay? And I feel the same is going to happen with Atlanta United. I mean, they've already proved it. They got 30,000 tickets, so I don't know what the capacity of what they're going to, you know, play to on a regular basis at Mercedes-Benz. I'm not thinking that they're going to sell 70,000 tickets, but 30,000 tickets sold already before the first home game is pretty good. I feel for a new sport that has never really been here in Atlanta, that's really doggone good. You're going to go over to Georgia Tech, Bobby Dodd, that's pretty good. Okay, so congratulations to Atlanta United. I feel the Atlanta Falcons are going to get back to the Super Bowl, and they're going to be the first team that's going to give us that parade on Peachtree Street, and the other teams are going to line up and follow them over a period of time. I truly do believe that. And so it's up to the fans in Atlanta, old and new, to make sure that they are a part of it and don't fall off the face of the earth all of a sudden just because. Okay, you have to finish out what you started as a fan. Whenever you were born and whenever you learned about sports for the first time and you saw the logo for the first time, right? Saw the colors, and that was the reason you were a fan, and then you start paying attention a little bit more, not just playing video games, right? You started learning about the game, and then you started learning about positions, and then you saw that first time that Deion Sanders ran a touchdown back, or, you know, first time Chipper Jones hit a home run from the left side and the right side, or, you know, the first time you saw Dominique win the slam dunk competition. You see what I'm saying? And then you stuck with the team through thick and thin, right? We made it through the Dominique trade somehow. We made it through those four World Series losses somehow. We made it through not seeing the team win in back-to-back seasons until Mike Smith got here somehow, right? We made it through 1998. We made it through a couple of weeks ago, right? So, again, I feel that we're closer than we've ever been before, and we just have to hang on just a little bit more. So, Atlanta Sports 2017, that's going to be the show for today. I'll be on again this week. Just make sure that you follow us on Instagram, IMTM Worldwide Radio. Also, go to the show page, blogtalkradio.com/IMTM Worldwide. You can hear the show from there, all the shows from past and present. Be sure to visit www.IMTMWorldwide.com. That's my personal website. Be sure to check it out and find out all that I do in the community and in business. And we're going to go ahead and end the show. I'm glad to have been able to talk about this particular subject. It's one that's, you know, I've been an Atlanta fan for a long time, and I've seen a lot. So, again, that's why I wanted to do this show particularly today. Look out for some other shows later in the week and later in the year, of course. I got some big stuff coming. And we'll love to hear from y'all in the future. Again, I'll try to see if I can mix up my shows, again, morning and evenings to give more people an opportunity to be able to call in. I know this is early. People are getting to work, going to work. They're at work, and they're looking at their boss. And they're like, man, I want to call, but I'll get in trouble. So I'll work it out. But until then, this is going to be Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio, signing off for the day. Y'all take care. Peace.